The question was asked, when we approach the question, should a Jew be living in Israel today, what sources do we have that indicate that a Jew is supposed to live in Israel today? So, maybe the best source is the Mishnah and Gemara in the end of Tractate Ksubos that discusses that intrinsic to a marriage is the idea that we're going to live in Israel if only we can. And that's ruled in Shulchan Aruch, meaning the Shulchan Aruch writes even today, and the Shulchan Aruch was talking in a time where we didn't have control of the land, we didn't have a government, we didn't have an army, it meant living under non-Jewish rule, either Muslim or Christian, but it wasn't, I mean, I'm saying, depending on exactly which era, the Shulchan Aruch was living at a time where things were switching back and forth, but either way, the Shulchan Aruch writes, when a couple gets married, it's self-evident. And if one of them says, I want to go live in Israel, and the other one says no, so that's considered they're destroying the marriage. They're going against the basic precept of the marriage. To the point where they get penalized. If it's the wife, she doesn't get the ksuba. And if the husband, he has to pay the full ksuba. Because we say, whoever didn't come, they're the ones who destroyed the marriage. So there you see a halachic application that the halacha assumes in every marriage, every Jew, it's self-evident they're going to live here. Now, that doesn't address the question of a mitzvah so much. You could argue that that's coming from different places. That can be argued, even though it seems very clear from the context of the Gemara, where the Gemara discusses that it's better to live here, it's better to die here. Whoever doesn't live here, it's like they don't have a God. The Gemara uses very harsh terms when you look at that Gemara that discusses how self-evident it is to live in Israel. Ketubot, if you want to bring a Gemara Ketubot, we'll look at the Gemara inside. Well, when they could, whoever could, did. You know, so that's one source. You want to see it inside?
What's the definition of could?
Right? That's also a discussion.
There were rabbis living in Israel, there were rabbis living in Babel. The majority of them were living in Babel.
Right. So the Mishnah says in Ksubos, Tav Kuf Yud Amud Beis, Hakol Malin Le'eretz Yisrael. Anyone can force the rest of his family to come and leave Chutzarts and live in Israel. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara asks, Hakol Malin Latu Yimai. Why does the Mishnah have to say everyone could force the family to go up? Answers the Gemara, Latu Yavadim, to tell you that the servant can tell you, I'm sorry. I know I signed a contract. I'm going to work for you. I didn't sign a contract. We'd stay in Chutzlarts. Mm-hmm. I want to continue working for you, but you have to make Aliyah with me. That's what the Gemara says. That a servant can force his master to go. Uleman detani avadim beedia latuye. May latuye menu ayafa. Hakol malin. So anyone can force to go up to Israel. Anyone can force to go up to Israel. Why does it have to say that? The Gemara says, even if you were living in a beautiful neighborhood in Chutzlarts, mm-hmm. and now you're going to live in a very bad neighborhood in Israel, mm-hmm. a person can still force his family to go up. The Gemara says, technically, the idea of you could force everyone in the family to go up means you could force a Hebrew servant to go up with you. And if an Eved Knani runs from Chutzlarts to Israel, so the master can't force him back out, he can't force the master up, but we tell the master, sell him, because there's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You want him to help settle the land of Israel. So again, when you look at the context, it certainly sounds not like that. It's the context in the Gemara sounds like it's the idea of the mitzvah, that you're supposed to live here. And again, the Gemara doesn't use the term mitzvat yeshivat Eretz Yisrael, but it does use the term yeshivat Eretz Yisrael, settling the land of Israel. So this is one of the sources in the Gemara.
The Rambam don't have specifically this mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvot. I mean, Number 20 is speaking about making the kingdom, and number 187 is speaking about settling, but it's not not really specific.
Right. Okay. So we have to know which system the Rambam used to count the mitzvot. Meaning there are many mitzvot Rambam doesn't count. That doesn't mean they're not mitzvot. There are many explanations. And again, do you want to argue whether the Rambam holds it's a mitzvah or not? We could look at what the Rambam writes about the prohibition of leaving Israel. We can look at what's recorded in the name of the Rambam, that when the Rambam used to sign his name, he used to write, I am Moshe ben Maimon, who every day that I live in Egypt, am transgressing three transgressions by living here. I'm saying that, so if you want to know what the Rambam holds, don't just look at Sefer HaMitzvot. Look at what the Rambam writes in other places as well, in terms of living in Israel and settling the land. What he writes in Sefer HaMitzvot is a totally different question. He has a whole system of what gets enumerated and what doesn't get enumerated. Okay? You're not allowed to leave from the Mon from Monday to Tuesday. The Mon would fall every day. You're supposed to finish it. Mm-hmm. And Hashem said, don't leave from Monday to Tuesday. Is that God said so? Yes. Is it in the Sefer HaMitzvot? No. Okay? There are many mitzvot that didn't make it to Sefer HaMitzvot. We have to know each one, why it didn't make it there. If you want to know what the Rambam holds, you have to look at the Rambam in Halacha. Even if you could argue that the Rambam didn't hold that, which in its own right needs to be discussed, I don't know that you could argue that. But even if you could argue that, the Shulchan Aruch, we have another two places that's discussed in Halacha. One place is in the laws of Shabbos, and one place is in the laws of Chol HaMoed. There are others, but we'll take two more examples. In the laws of Chol HaMoed, it says a person wants to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So he's not allowed to, unless he was traveling. If he was traveling, so he just made it back to the dry land, so he's allowed to take a haircut. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. Did he transgress in the journey he went in, or did he go legitimately? What's a transgression? If he left Israel to Chutz Arts. So then we say, you can't take a haircut just because you got back. Who allowed you to leave? So that's another halacha, and that's where you have the Machloket Shulchan Aruch Gra, about whether every Jew is prohibited from leaving Israel. That's just stam, as a side note, you should know. That's where the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra have their discussion of how we understand the prohibition of leaving Eretz Israel. They say that the Rebbe of Chabad never came to Israel because he understood the Rambam to mean that the prohibition is in leaving Israel. Mm-hmm. Meaning the question is, do I have to come or am I not allowed to leave? So that's how they explain, that's what they say. And finally, the Shulchan Aruch in the laws of Shabbos. So we have a concept that I'm not allowed to do something on Thursday or Friday that might force me to transgress Shabbat. So if I know that when I board a ship, it's very likely that during the course of the travel, they're going to tell me, we need your help, open the mast, close the mast, do things that are mnachot on Shabbat. So I'm not allowed to go on that ship on Thursday, Friday. On Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I can go. And then whatever will happen Shabbos, I could tell them in advance, I don't want you to make me work on Shabbos. But if on Shabbos they tell me I have to, I have to. You could go on a caravan on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then if on you tell them in advance, on Shabbos we rest. And then if on Shabbos they say, we can't stay here in the desert, you're coming with us. So you travel, even though you're leaving the Tchum Shabbos, that's okay. Because you're not obligated on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday to be concerned about Shabbat. But on Thursday, Friday, adjacent to Shabbat, you do have to be concerned. You're not allowed to go on such a caravan on Thursday, Friday. But what happens, says the Gemara, if they're going the Dvar Mitzvah, what happens if the caravan is traveling to do a mitzvah? Then you're allowed to go even on Friday. Even if in the end you might have to do Chilul Shabbat, you're allowed to go on Friday. So the Shulchan Aruch adds a word to the Gemara. When the Shulchan Aruch quotes that Gemara, he says if they're traveling for a mitzvah, for example, they're making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. That's the Shulchan Aruch's example. He gives that example. It's not in the Gemara. That's a Shulchan Aruch's edition. So there's another example of where you see the Shulchan Aruch held it's a mitzvah to come to live in Israel. Okay? So those are three sources. We began with the Gemara in Ksubos. We discussed the Halacha in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. And we discussed the Gemara in Hilchos Shabbos. Okay? Tov.